The reading is from Genesis 13, verses 1 to 18. Abram and Lot separate. So Abram went up from Egypt to Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abraham went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Sue, thank you very much indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to us through your word. Help us to make the right choices in life. In your name, amen. It's great to see so many people here today. We're thinking today about choices, all the different choices you make. I don't know how long you chose today what to wear, Neil. I don't know how long it took you to decide what to wear. 30 seconds, he says. We have a choice. What am I going to eat for breakfast today? And then there are those really big choices in life. What job should I do? Which person should I marry or not? And then those really tricky choices. How do I react towards somebody in the family or a relative who's giving me grief? How do I deal with conflict? Who do I put my trust in? Different choices. We have choices every single day. What are the choices that we make? And that's what Genesis chapter 13 is all about, the choices. I preached last week on the call of Abraham, and I did the old classic, the letter C. Do you remember the four C's? C for the call of Abraham, the covenant that was made, the consequence of how Abraham responded, and the final C, the confirmation God gave him. There's actually another C today. I noticed choices. So, Neil, next week, we've got to keep that letter C going. Probably quite easy because I think you're preaching on the covenant next week. The first choice Abraham had was when he came back from sheltering in Egypt. There'd been a famine, and traditionally, when there was a famine, you went down to Egypt because of the River Nile. All comes down to geography. River Nile was there. There's water and there's pasture land. So when he came back from Egypt, the first choice Abraham was where do I go? So he went back to Bethel because that's the place where he had met with God, where he had already built an altar. If you have a look at verse 3 and 4, it says, Abraham came to Bethel, where he'd first built an altar, and there he called on the name of the Lord. So his first choice, where did he go, and who did he call upon? He went back to a place where he'd met with God before, and he called on the name of the Lord. He responded to God. He called on him. And I was just thinking this morning, when did I last really call on the name of the Lord? Now, the second choice is the big one, the one we think of with Abraham and Lot. What do you do when there's a family quarrel? The land where they moved back was not sufficient for him and his nephew Lot. They both were fairly wealthy herdsmen, and they had enormous flocks, I'm assuming sheep and goats, and there wasn't enough pasture, there wasn't enough water for all their flocks in the promised land. And not just that, they were living alongside Canaanites and Perizzites. So how did Abraham cope when there was conflict with his nephew? And the answer is, if you look at the text, he dealt with it graciously, generously, practically. He resolved the tension with Lot by bringing the issue into the open and giving Lot the choice. So if you look at verse 8, Abraham says to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling, for we are close relatives, we're brethren. Let's part company, left or right." And to me, there's something very gracious about Abraham. Abraham was, if you like, the boss. He was the leader of this group. And he could have said, well, I'm having the best bit, you'd go there. But he gave Lot the choice. He brought that quarrel out into the open, came up with a really practical idea. And the next choice is the way that Abraham used that choice of land. He was selfless. And instead of exerting his authority and saying, well, I'm in charge, I'm nicking this bit of land, he showed graciousness to Lot. He points out that, well, we're close relatives. He had faith that God would still give him the land and offspring. And to me, there's an example there in the way Abraham reacts in resolving that tension, in how we choose, how we respond. And so something we need to pray for is graciousness when there is conflict. In our own family, one of our family members is giving us trouble at the moment, and it's been really, really difficult. And my prayer has been, God, give me a soft heart, help me to be gracious. Help me, Lot, to go around telling all of you and everybody how dreadful this one person is behaving. Pray for graciousness in how we deal with others. To me, Abraham was very gracious. Lot, you go first, you choose. And then what was the choice? And the next choice we come across in the passage was Lot. His choice was the easy option. Have a look at verse 10. Lot looked around and saw the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord. That means like Eden, like the land of Egypt. Was he impatient? Did he just choose what seemed the best option at the time? On the surface, it seemed better. It was green and it had water. Can I just point out, what we're reading about took place 2000 BC. We're talking about an argument 4,000 years ago. And then, like now, people argue over resources. There are arguments in the world today over access to water and access to land. Some things have never, ever changed. And so Lot chooses the plain of the Jordan. And we're told that Abraham, therefore, stayed in Canaan, lived in the land of Canaan. But if you look on at verse 12 and 13, we find out a bit more about Lot's choice. Abraham lived in Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. And the writer says, the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Canaan, the land of Israel, where Paul, our vicar, is at the moment, is actually quite hilly. It's quite dry in places. And there's a contrast between that and the big, green, fertile plains. And yet Lot's choice, we will read on and find out, was actually not the right choice. Sometimes the harder, choosing the hilly country of Canaan, would have been better than the easy option of the green plains. The reason is, where Lot was, the people all around him, where he was living, were wicked, and they were sinning greatly. His choice, if you like, was selfish. If you live amongst people that are very, very wicked and corrupt, it can infect you. When you mix a lot with people with different views, people who do evil, it's quite easy to be corrupted too. Sometimes the harder choice is the right one, staying away what appears to be easy. It reminded me of Jesus' words in Matthew 7, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Abraham chooses the land of Canaan, and God repeats his covenant promise to him again of offspring. If you look at verse 15 and 16, that word offspring comes up three times. I'll give to you and your offspring. I'll make your offspring like the dust of your earth. Remember, his wife Sarah is barren, and by now Abraham is in his late 70s, and she's quite old as well. And then verse 17, go, God says, walk through the length and breadth of the land. I'm giving it to you. And there's something symbolic about walking around the land God has promised to Abraham. He goes to Hebron, pitches his tents there, and for the third time in verse 18, he builds an altar to the Lord. Abraham's faith in God continues. Despite the circumstances, despite the land being a bit worse and hilly, despite his advancing age and barren wife, he pitched his tents and built an altar to the Lord. I'm going to have to mention chapter 14. If you get a chance, do read chapter 14. The story continues. There's a battle between five kings and four kings, and Lot, who made that easy choice of down in the plains, is carried off, and he and all his possessions are captured because he's living in Sodom. He's carried off in verse 12 of chapter 14, and so his choice actually turns out to be the wrong choice. And Abraham, we're told in chapter 14, goes off and has to rescue his nephew. And Lot then repeats his bad choice. He goes back to Sodom and Gomorrah in chapter 14. He compounds his bad choice by repeating it. And how often do we make bad choices and then we go and do the same thing again? But Abraham in chapter 14 turns out to have continued to make the good choices. He's met by two kings after the battle, the king of Sodom, who is a bad person, and the king of Salem, Melchizedek, the king of Jerusalem. And the final choice Abraham makes is how to respond to those two kings. And you read about how towards Melchizedek, this mysterious priest king figure, he He blesses Abraham, and Abraham gives him a tithe, a blessing, the tenth of everything he has. Whereas towards the king of Sodom, who shows no gratitude towards Abraham, who just says, give me this, Abraham finishes by not accepting things from the king of Sodom. He is loyal to God alone. So we finish by thinking again about the choices we make. Abraham is always held up as this figure for his great faith. But to me, it's the excellent choices he makes. The choice to call on the name of the Lord. The choice about how he handles conflict in the family. The choice about choosing God's way that may seem harder and more difficult. Abraham's choice how to react when there's trouble, when different people approach you, like the king of Sodom and the king of Salem, wanting different things. And to finish off, as I was thinking about choices, I was on clergy retreat a year ago, and I was chatting to this vicar, who used to be a policeman, in fact, Adrian. And this vicar was just chatting a bit about his life and how he'd become a vicar. And then he's quite a quiet person, and he suddenly said, really animated, he said, the best choice I ever made in my life was to follow Jesus, and secondly, to marry my wife. And I knew his wife, and actually it was a good choice. But it was knowing that choice we have made. Have we made the right choices? And so I'm going to suggest after this service that you come and ask Neil and I for prayer. Are you facing any choices at the moment? You can ask other people for prayer as well. What are the choices we have to make? And let's pray about making those godly choices which Abraham made, to follow him most of all. I've had that song going round in my head, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that's the biggest choice we can make. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. Let's be quiet now and just think about, what is God saying to me? What are the choices I'm facing at the moment? And how can I make the right choices? Let's be quiet, and then Neil will come forward.